Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather here this morning in thanks and praise that you have chosen us, that you have indeed placed our names in your book. Lord, as we continue through the trials and the troubles of this life, we pray that you would sustain us in this faith until we finally enter into your eternal presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can ask my wife, you can ask my kids, I am not a guy that likes to not know what is coming. I appreciate predictability. I don't like surprises. Please never give me a surprise party. I appreciate the ability to prepare for what's coming at me. I'm not the guy that walks into a dark room and says, well, let's see what happens. That guy breaks his toe on the end table, and I don't want any part of that. But I suppose the desire to know what's coming ahead depends a lot on the context of what we're talking about. If it's something minor, it's not a big deal, like what's for dinner? It'll be what it is. That's simple. I'm not worried about stuff like that. But if it's something that's of a much greater consequence, most people like to have some kind of level of certainty about what's coming down the line. And before I entered the ministry, I worked for about 15 years as a consultant. And in that role, I would occasionally get a phone call, last minute phone call, that would say, we need you to fly across the country, be at this client office for a meeting. I hated those calls. All they would give me would be the client name, the client address, and a high-level description of what we were doing. And now, that scenario was rare. Usually I got more than that, but it was rare, but I absolutely hated them. Why? Because there was so much uncertainty. There were so many unknowns in that moment. And as a consultant, you were expected to walk into that room and be the guy, the expert about what you were talking about, what y'all were covering that day. So when I got a rare call like this, I clicked into scramble mode, calling anyone and everyone I could to get some answers. There was one project 15 years ago, still remember it like it was yesterday. Got an email Friday afternoon from the project lead. Said, we need you to be in Portland, Oregon, at Conway Freight offices at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. And all he told me was, we're doing an assessment. Really? That's it? We're doing an assessment? So I spent the next 2 days scrambling, calling, texting, emailing anyone I could within our company to try to get some kind of a better idea other than client name, client address, assessment. I absolutely hated flying into a new city at a new client with no real idea about what I was supposed to be doing for that client. We like to know what's coming. It gives us comfort knowing what's down the line. Even those spontaneous people that say, hey, I'm good with whatever, even they have a threshold for uncertainty. Even they get to a point where they go, okay, I need you to give me more concrete details about this situation. And we read a short part, but very interesting part of the book of Daniel this morning. This part we read was at the tail end of this vision that Daniel had. And this messenger was described as a man clothed in linen. So this messenger spoke to him about the future. It was a divine messenger, an angel of God that says, here is what is coming for you. And he brought both good and bad news. And you know how that game is played, right? Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news first? Well, the messenger started with the bad news. He said, there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. Awkward ESV right there. Let's read the NLT on this one. There will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. Okay. That is not exactly the divine message you would hope to receive from a messenger of the Lord. You're going to suffer beyond what you know, beyond what nations have ever seen. But it aligns with the vision in chapter 11. The vision said that war and violence were coming into existence for Daniel and the people, and it was going to be with the neighboring countries around them. And we think about, since the fall in the garden, war and violence have just been a common part of the human existence. It's a byproduct of sin. Even today, look around. War and violence is everywhere. We can find nations right now that are engaged in wars, great scale. And we can also find this warfare and violence on a much smaller scale between individuals that have some kind of disagreement, some kind of beef over some issue, and they're going at it. Times of anguish are a given. They're common. We all have stories we could pull forward about times of anguish and suffering. But this ominous word, this bad news from the divine messenger is not necessarily where I want to focus. Yes, he brought a heavy message, but he also brought a message filled with hope. He also brought this good news part of the message. See, the messenger from God, he dipped into the gospel in this part where he said to Daniel, "But at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt." So the messenger countered the bad news. The bad news, if we expand on that bad news, the messenger was saying, there's going to be hardship and struggle. You're going to suffer. You're going to have bad days. There are going to be times where you turn against God and you walk away from him. You're going to be under the boot of enemies. But then he says, here's the good news. Here's the good news. All that negativity, all that wickedness, all that vileness, all that suffering and pain and hardship, it's not the end game. It's not the end all be all. The messenger had this tremendous word of hope for Daniel and his people. The messenger said, look, every one of the people whose name is written in this book, they're going to be rescued. They're going to rise up to everlasting life. This messenger is focusing on something so much bigger, so much greater than just the immediate moment that these people were in. He's pointing to the last day. This messenger is pointing to the final victory. This messenger is pointing to the promised glorious resurrection for all those who put their faith in the coming Messiah. The messenger is saying this gift is what is ahead. Daniel, this gift is what is ahead. Israelite people, this gift is what is coming. OSL church family, this joyous gift is what lies ahead. It's a wonderful reality. What God said to Daniel, what God still tells us today through his Holy Spirit, through his word, is that we have a real physical life coming where there will be nothing but joy, peace, and happiness. That is the complete and certain truth that we hold on to. And it's complete and certain because of the author of that truth, God Almighty, the creator and sustainer of all things. He has said this is coming. He has promised that he is going to provide this eternal life. And we know from the scriptures, God is a God of his word. If he has said it's coming, it's coming. And that brings us joy. And that brings us tremendous confidence about tomorrow. And that allows us to echo the words we heard from the book of Hebrews today, where that author said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he, God, who promised, is faithful. Here's the thing. God has promised you that Jesus is the single, once-for-all sacrifice for all of your sins. God has promised to you that by the blood of his Son, the perfect blood of his Son, you have been made perfect in his eyes. And God has promised you that through Jesus, your sins are as good as gone. God will remember them no more. That, brothers and sisters, is what gives you reason to rejoice, to smile, and to rest peacefully today. Because all that goodness in Christ Jesus is in that eternal life to come. All that goodness, that forgiveness, that love, that gift of mercy is what welcomes us into eternal life. promised eternal life. We have that certainty today. Now, I don't know how the details of tomorrow are going to play out. I don't know if next week is going to be good or bad. I don't know what the next 4 years under a new administration is going to be like. I wish I could tell you that the problem that you're having at work right now is going to have a quick and peaceful resolution. I don't know how all your relationships are going to play out with your spouse and your children and your in-laws and your neighbors and your coworkers. I wish I could say they were all going to be peaceful, but we don't know those kind of details of this life. We don't have the certainty of how every minute of every day is going to play out. But what we do have is the absolute certainty in how things are going to play out in the end. What we do have is the absolute certainty that through your faith in Jesus, a day is coming where you will be in the Lord's eternal presence, where you will no longer tangle with the trials and the troubles of this life. You'll be alive and well, but without all the mess, without all the mental and emotional torment, without that nagging physical pain that is just a daily companion, and without just all the nonsense and the negativity and the garbage that just sits on our shoulders like dead weight every day. All that stuff God has promised will be gone forever. What a gift. What an amazing gift from our God, this promised eternal life to come. So between now and then, we continue forward in this life. We walk with one another. We take the words from the tail end of our Hebrews reading that said, stir each other up in love and good works. We keep encouraging one another. We keep gathering here for worship every Sunday. And we keep looking to that last day. That last day we will enter into God's eternal presence, alive and well, with nothing but peace and joy and rest awaiting us. That's what's ahead. And God be praised for it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the undeserved grace and mercy that you give to us. We thank you that you have chosen us as your people. We thank you, Lord, that when we wander off into sin, that you bring us back. And we thank you, Lord, that every time we confess our sins to you, we find your true and complete forgiveness. Lord God, I pray you sustain us in this life, that you carry us forward with our eyes fixed on you until, Lord, we come into your eternal presence and see you face to face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.